Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Theresa May's Brexit bill suffers a crushing defeat.
China once again steps up stimulus measures.
Calls for patience from the Federal Reserve get louder.
Shares of Snap slump after the latest executive departure.
And the parade of bank earnings continues with results from Goldman and Bank of America.
Attorney General nominee Barr says he doesn't think the special counsel's investigation is a witch hunt. Plus, Governor Cuomo's plan to make pot legal in the state. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower at Sports. Good win for the Rangers. They beat Carolina at the Garden. The Islanders an overtime win over St. Louis. The Devils lost in Columbus.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and global stocks are painting a mixed picture this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures down almost 2. The DAX in Germany is little change. CAC in Paris up about 0.2%. FTSE 100 down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down about 0.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.74%. Yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 22 cents to $51.89 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 60 cents to $12.88.90 an ounce. The euro $1.1396 and the yen 108.80. Nathan.
Karen, the UK stands at its most dangerous crossroads in decades after Parliament rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit plan.
It is clear that the House does not support this deal, but tonight's vote tells us nothing about what it does support.
More than 200 vote defeat effectively kills May's agreement with the EU, while opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn now tries to force an election.
The government has lost the confidence of this House and this country. I therefore, Mr. Speaker, inform you I have now tabled a motion of no confidence in this government.
A no-confidence vote in May's leadership scheduled for today could trigger a general election.
Financial markets are taking the news in stride, with investors saying May's defeat opens the door for a second referendum on Brexit. Dartmouth professor and former Bank of England member Danny Blanchflower.
I think it does take away the option of just crashing out. I think they have to defer, they have to delay. The prospects of a second referendum are rising. And I think the prospects of no Brexit at all are rising. What are the options on the table? Some kind of Brexit deal where the people lose, a crash out where they lose even more, as compared to not leaving.
Even after the Prime Minister's massive defeat, the EU says there is no room to renegotiate. That is the pound trading near its strongest level since November. It's currently at $1.2859.
Now, it was a muted trading session in Asia today, but we did see a big move from China. The country's central bank injected a record $83 billion into the financial system. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports.
The PBOC injected the most amount of liquidity on record through its open market operations a day after vowing larger tax cuts. Analysts saw the injection as a move to shore up cash in the system ahead of an expected run on the banks in the lead up to tax season and Lunar New Year. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Here in the U.S., calls for patience on Federal Reserve policy are getting louder. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. We're hearing similar messages from both doves and hawks on the Fed.
Will we actually raise interest rates twice? I don't know. It's going to depend on what the data actually comes out. Could it be more? Could it be less? You know, we'll have to see.
Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari remains a dove, though he doesn't vote on policy this year. But Kansas City President Esther George, a noted hawk, preached patience in remarks yesterday, calling for a pause before considering additional rate increases. And Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan had a similar message, saying the central bank should take its time. Still, he's not ready to call an end to the hiking cycle. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Now, the Fed's next reading on the U.S. economy comes today with the release of the Beige Book. book. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The beige book may get more attention on Wall Street than usual. The government shutdown means there's no official data on retail sales, inventories, and growth. So the Fed's survey of regional economic conditions will be scrutinized for evidence the economy is hanging in there. Investors will be particularly keen to divine the state of the shopper, given poor results from some of the country's biggest retailers, and they want to know whether tight labor markets are pushing prices higher. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. The parade of bank earnings continues today with results from Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. Here with a look at Goldman's report, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Goldman's revenue and earnings likely trailed the company's largest peers. Bloomberg Intelligence says legal risk associated with the 1MDB scandal and the potential impacts on capital returns will likely be the central focus with the fourth quarter results. But markets got off to a stronger start in 2019, and an improved outlook could be more meaningful than a difficult fourth quarter. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thanks. Shares of Snap are down nearly 9.5% in early trading after the company's chief financial officer resigned. Sarah Fryer has details from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The company has lost a number of folks since its March 2017 IPO, including heads of strategy, engineering, product, legal. Most of the people who report to Evan Spiegel have left or been fired, and that raises a lot of questions around this company's future.
And chief financial officer Tim Stone leaves Snap after just 8 months on the job.
Andy Lampert has won a bankruptcy auction for Sears. Sources tell Bloomberg the Sears chairman's plan keeps the bankrupt retailer in business and seeks to save tens of thousands of jobs. Lampert's bid beat competing proposals that would have forced Sears to shut down and liquidate.
Renault is putting together plans to remove Carlos Ghosn as chairman and CEO. Bloomberg News has learned the French automaker's board will meet in the coming days to replace him. Ghosn failed to win bail this week. He faces a lengthy incarceration in Japan.
And just breaking minutes ago on the Bloomberg, Turkey's central bank leaves interest rates unchanged with its one-week repo rate holding at 24%. That is the Turkish lira strengthening by about 1% to 5.39 per dollar. Futures this morning, S&P futures higher, up 3 points, Dow futures up 36, and NASDAQ futures down 2. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's pick for attorney general says he knows Bob Mueller. During William Barr's confirmation hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, he told the Senate Judiciary Committee that he will protect the special counsel's investigation. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Barr is halfway through his 2 days of questioning, and he's used the hearings to assert his independence as President Trump's nominee. He pledged to give Robert Mueller the time he needs to finish his probe and disagreed with Trump's frequent characterization of the investigation.
I don't believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt.
At the same time, he said that would be a natural reaction for someone who felt they were falsely accused. He said he's troubled by the idea of prosecutions of political opponents.
I don't subscribe to this locker-up stuff.
Although Barr doesn't need Democratic votes to win confirmation, he may get some, judging by early reviews, and there's no sign any Republicans are wavering on backing him. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Unpaid federal employees failed to win a temporary court order compelling the government to compensate them for working during the partial shutdown or let them take jobs elsewhere. Prosecutors say Paul Manafort misled special counsel Robert Mueller's investigators and a federal grand jury when he said he wasn't communicating with people in the Trump administration as he was under investigation. Kenyan security forces ended an attack on an office complex in the capital by suspected Islamist militants that left 14 people dead. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
We will continue taking every step to make our nation inhospitable to terrorist groups and their networks.
Kenyatta says all of the assailants were killed in Nairobi. New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand announced she's taking a first step toward formally running for the White House in 2020.
I'm filing an exploratory committee for President of the United States tonight.
Gillibrand on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert says she, quote, will fight for other people's kids as hard as I would fight for my own. Governor Andrew Cuomo unveiled a plan to make New York the 11th state to legalize recreational pot for adults. During his annual State of the State address, Cuomo says retail sales of the drug would raise an estimated $300 million a year. Cuomo also unveiled a proposal banning stretch limousines from state roads. It comes after 20 people were killed in October after a stretch SUV lost control and slammed into another vehicle in Schoharie. Cuomo also called upon the state legislature to revamp the leadership of the MTA, and the governor also called for sports betting to be legal in 4 upstate casinos within 100 days. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Close to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it's a young Rangers team. They figure to have bad stretches like they've had lately, 6 losses in 7 games. But last night, their first win at the Garden since December 18th, a 6-2 rout of Carolina. 3 Rangers scored twice, including Mika Zibanejad.
I think we played faster, played simpler, scored on a power play, took advantage of the chances we had, and still maybe not as good as the Islanders game there. That was a good response from the guys.
They went 3-for-3 on the power play. The New York team that's been playing well, the Islanders, more of the same last night.
Islanders will keep control of the puck. Dunn able to sneak off as Filppula back in. Valtteri Filppula, he scores! Islanders win with a goal from Filppula.
Gee, the call 2-1 overtime over St. Louis, and the Isles have won 9 of the last 11. Devils lost at Columbus 4-1. The Nets will get a good look tonight at the NBA's hottest player. They're in Houston. James Harden has scored 30 or more in 17 straight games. He just went for 57. The Knicks are in London, where they'll play Washington tomorrow. Last night, 2-time defending NBA champ Golden State served notice. Still the team to beat in Denver. The Nuggets were in first place in the West. Not anymore. The Warriors with an NBA record 51 points in the first quarter. They won going away 142-111. College hoops, losses for Seton Hall, Rutgers, and Fordham. The Jets appear to have their man, Greg Williams, close to a deal to be the new defensive coordinator. This past season in Cleveland, he ended up as the Browns' interim head coach, had a winning record in that job. Francis Tiafoe, 20-year-old from outside of Washington, D.C., with an upset win at the Australian Open, beating fifth-seeded Kevin Anderson. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures down 3 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hyde Park Antiques and the 65th Annual Winter Show, featuring experts in fine art and antiques from around the globe, January 18th through the 27th at the historic Park Avenue Armory.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are watching for earnings this morning from companies including Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. BlackRock reporting fourth quarter adjusted profit that missed analysts' estimates. Revenue was in line. And Ford's preliminary revenue for 2018 beating analysts' estimates. It does plan to reshape its overseas operations. Right now, S&P futures are up 2 points. Dow futures up 26. NASDAQ futures down 3. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 22 cents to $51.89 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 60 cents to $12.89 an ounce. The euro, $1.1396, and the yen, 108.78. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's attorney general nominee says he would not bow to pressure if he was asked to fire special counsel Robert Mueller. William Barr told senators under questioning that he did not consider the investigation a witch hunt, as President Trump has frequently stated. Barr will face more questions today. Congress is planning to skip next week's planned recess if the partial government shutdown continues. Neither side is showing signs of backing down. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime. The Rangers won. The Devils lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The parade of bank earnings continues today. Bank of America, Goldman Sachs. Let's pick it apart now with Allison Williams of Bloomberg Intelligence. I have resisted the urge to say FIC is sick. but I will say it this morning.
Now you said it.
The fourth quarter speed bump, as some bankers would have you believe, or what?
So it was a tough December, and I guess the one positive sign is that we're off to a stronger start. Keep in mind that the fourth quarter is the seasonally weakest, so that this quarter it's much more important to be a healthy quarter. Jamie Dimon said yesterday we got about half of the terrible December back so far in January, and by that I think he means just sort of the market activity. But pockets of strength, equity derivatives, very strong, and J.P. Morgan seeing some strength in prime. We're not sure if that has to do with some share gains.
Okay, David Solomon's first earnings call as CEO over at Goldman. I'm curious how much they're going to set aside for the Malaysia scandal.
So our view on that is obviously they should try to put it behind them as quickly as they can, but obviously it's not all up to them. It also relates to the regulators, and we don't think that you will see sizable money set aside for that until they're closer to the settlement, which it doesn't seem like they're sort of at that point today. But what we could see is the bank, you know, maybe stopping some of the buybacks, pausing some of the buybacks. They had done that previously when they were, you know, after the tax hit last year in an effort to rebuild capital. And so there could be some delay in that building capital ahead of a potential settlement. But they might not. We don't know if this settles this year. The hope would be that they find a way to sort of settle it and book it into 2018. They have up until the annual report is filed to do that. But again, the timing is going to relate to the regulators.
They're doing a strategic review of Siklific. How's that going?
I think they've been doing a strategic review. So they kind of had come out with new targets under Blankfein. As Solomon has taken the helm, it wouldn't be surprising for them to sort of just, you know, sort of refresh that review.
The comparisons are going to be easy for them.
The comparisons are going to be easy for Goldman and Morgan Stanley. A year ago, they had a significantly tougher quarter than the other banks. So coming into the quarter, the consensus was actually for modest increases a few weeks ago at both the banks. Obviously, those expectations have come down a bit. I think investors are going to want to hear, you know, the competitive trend is going to be important. There is a little bit of a different mix for Morgan Stanley and Goldman versus the big banks in terms of they don't have as much of the corporate and treasury business. That's a business that Goldman Sachs has talked about going after the long term. So I think that'll be something more interesting to hear about in terms of the long term strategic view.
What else specific to Goldman?
So M&A.
Okay.
There is one good thing happening this quarter in the investment bank, and that's M&A fees. You know, Morgan Stanley and Goldman are the strongest in this business, along with J.P. Morgan. They do earn relatively more from those fees, especially Goldman, who, you know, those three banks top the league tables, but Goldman's revenue is generally significantly more than the others, and that's going to be an area of strength. A lot of that has to do with the timing of closing of deals, so we're going to want to hear about pipelines, what's happening with client sentiment. Well, we've heard about active dialogues, but we have also heard about a pause related to a lot of the volatility and the market activity. Can we get a pickup in that? This quarter, J.P. Morgan talking about pipelines broadly stronger. Will we hear the same?
Deutsche, let's switch them. How key is loan growth there?
So for Deutsche, I think that the key thing, key negative that we've gotten so far is the FIC result. And the issue for Deutsche Bank is that FIC trading is a significant share of their revenue. They've committed to this strategy sort of over and over again. The new CEO has said that they're going to cut back the investment bank, but it's still going to remain a significant part of their overall revenue. To the extent that industry FIC is weaker, it makes it tougher for them to sort of show that their strategy can work. There's a lot of talk about a merger with their peer, yeah, Commerce Bank. We get a rumor every other day that that's happening. It doesn't really solve anything. It doesn't really sort of relate to the fundamentals that we're talking about. But to the extent that the CEO is under pressure and there's questions around the strategy, you know, could there be more pressure there? You know, that's something that we'll see with their results in a couple weeks.
And I know you guys don't do share prices or anything connected with that, but I would say that they're cheap right now. Can we say that?
Well,
this is overall.
So in BI, we can look at valuations and say compare historically. Cheap implies a certain valuation. which we don't do in BI, but certainly their stock is trading at a significant discount to their tangible book, okay. And that's unusual.
Thank you, Allison. Appreciate it. Allison Williams from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all market and government factors that impact business. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with Brexit. Stocks are down more than 0.5% in London after the biggest defeat for any government in modern history. It leaves Prime Minister Theresa May's exit agreement with the EU all but dead, while opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn tries to force a general election. John Raith is head of UK rate strategy and economics at UBS.
Either you're going to get no deal or you're going to get a second referendum. And I think if you end up where that is a sort of imminent decision facing MPs, they will opt for a second referendum for sure, rather than allowing no deal to happen.
The next hurdle for Theresa May is a no confidence vote today in Parliament.
Annual car sales in Europe dropped for the first time since 2013. They were led lower by a sagging UK market where concerns over Brexit turned off consumers.
The People's Bank of China has injected a net $83 billion into the financial system through open market operations. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
It was the biggest one-day addition on record. The massive injection was essentially to meet seasonal demand for cash due to tax payments and major holidays, January being the peak season for tax payments, and then there's the week-long Lunar New Year holiday that begins early next month. The injection also helps the central bank in its plan to reduce banks' funding costs. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Here in the U.S., bank earnings continue today with reports from Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. Ken Leon, Director of Research at CFRA, recently downgraded B of A from buy to hold.
Bank of America had a weak investment bank performance. Hopefully they'll do better in Q4. They're doing extremely well in terms of commercial and consumer loans. They don't have the global risks.
Bank of America's results are due out in about 15 minutes' time, while Goldman's earnings are expected at 7:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Shares of Snap are down almost 11% in early trading. The social media company's chief financial officer, Tim Stone, is resigning after just 8 months on the job.
And Sears chairman Eddie Lampert has won a bankruptcy auction to keep the department store chain in business. Bloomberg News has learned Lampert's improved offer is valued at more than $5 billion and could preserve tens of thousands of jobs.
S&P futures are up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures are down about 3. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 32 cents to $51.80 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little changed. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's choice to be Attorney General will face a second day of questions during Senate confirmation hearings. On the first day, William Barr pledged to protect the federal probe into election meddling and said he would not be bullied into doing anything wrong. Barr also told senators his independence would be worth his job.
If the president directs an attorney general to do something that is contrary to law, then I think the attorney general has to step down.
The Trump administration has ordered thousands of furloughed federal employees back to work without pay to inspect planes, issue tax refunds, monitor food safety, and facilitate the sale of offshore oil drilling rights. Americans may get their refunds during the showdown of the shutdown, rather, but the upcoming tax filing season is likely to be one of the rockiest in decades as the IRS grapples with a major tax overhaul with limited staff. The IRS will have about 57% of its workers in the coming days. It looks as if Wall Street may be getting a lot more scrutiny from the White House Financial Services Committee. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It looks very much as if the committee will be getting some recently elected progressives led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the 29-year-old from the Bronx who has called for the biggest banks to be broken up. The steering committee has recommended her along with Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Katie Porter of California. Representative Maxine Waters will head the panel. It will be a different world there. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Kenya's president says security forces ended an attack on an office complex in Nairobi by suspected Islamist militants that left at least 14 people dead. President Uhuru Kenyatta says all of the assailants were killed.
We will seek out every person that was involved in the funding, planning, and execution of this heinous act.
Governor Andrew Cuomo unveiled a plan to make stretch limousines illegal in New York State. During his annual State of the State address, Cuomo also says he wants to give more power to state regulators to keep unsafe vehicles off the road. It comes after 20 people were killed in October after a stretch SUV lost control and slammed into another vehicle in Schoharie. Cuomo also called upon the state legislature to revamp the leadership of the MTA, saying its governing structure has made the subway and bus operator dysfunctional. The governor also called for sports betting to be legal in four upstate casinos within 100 days. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, all three local hockey teams were on the ice. Two at home, they both won. The Rangers with their first win at the Garden in nearly a month. 6-2 over Carolina. Half the goals came on the power play. Mika Zibanejad with two goals, two assists. Tony D'Angelo and Pavel Buchnevich also scored twice. Just the Blue Shirts' second win in the last eight games. The Islanders made it nine wins in the last 11 games, 12 of 15. 2-1 over St. Louis on a Vitari Filppula goal. 137 of overtime. Devils in Columbus lost 4-1. NBA saw Golden State wallop Denver 142-111. The Warriors set an NBA record with 51 points in the first quarter. They've won five straight. They're back in their familiar spot atop the Western Conference. College basketball, Seton Hall had 22 turnovers, lost at Providence. Rutgers got blown out, lost by 35 at Purdue. Fordham beaten by St. Louis. The Rams are 0-4. In the Atlantic 10. Upset at the Australian Open, 20-year-old American Francis Tiafoe took out the fifth seed, Kevin Anderson. The Jets on the verge of hiring Greg Williams to be their defensive coordinator. He's been in the NFL nearly 30 years, although once suspended a year for his part in that Bounty Gate scandal in New Orleans. Was last Sunday Nick Foles' last game in Philadelphia. The Eagles general manager is Howie Roseman.
We would love to keep Nick Foles. I mean, you talk about a guy who we drafted here and we've grown incredibly close with. I mean, I don't know a team that wouldn't want to have Nick Foles on their roster. Certainly, as we go into the substance of those discussions, we haven't had them yet. But there's no question we love having Nick Foles as an Eagle in Philadelphia, and we'd love to keep him.
But it'd be as a backup quarterback. The Eagles insist Carson Wentz, when healthy, still the starter. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow with Nathan.
John, thank you. The partial government shutdown is affecting all levels of government. At the Food and Drug Administration, it's impacting recruitment of top scientists. Nancy Lyons has more on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Before the shutdown, the FDA was looking to take advantage of a new law that streamlined the hiring process and also raised the salary cap in hopes of bringing in the best and the brightest. But Bloomberg Law's Jeannie Bauman says an extended shutdown is a real disincentive.
My sources tell me the longer the shutdown goes on, the harder it will be for them to compete with some of these private sector companies that might be looking for the same type of talent.
Adding to concerns, half the FDA's senior leaders are eligible for retirement beginning October 1st. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
First, more than a decade ago, Hurricane Katrina bankrupted an electric company in New Orleans, Entergy. Then, rain and flooding in Houston from Hurricane Harvey did the same to already struggling ExGen Texas Power. Now, in California, severe weather has pushed PG&E to the brink in the biggest warning yet about the financial risks of climate change. The utility giant's critics contend it's hurtling toward bankruptcy court because of its own negligence and arrogance. But for many months, PG&E has pointed to the culprit of a shifting climate that led to devastating wildfires and now crushing liabilities. Michael Wera, director of Stanford University's Climate and Energy Policy Program, says PG&E was late to make some tough business calls to deal with increasingly risky conditions.
The key question is the degree to which the company should be shutting off the power during risky times in wildfire areas.
A PG&E bankruptcy would make it the largest company to seek protection while blaming the effects of a warming planet for the situation. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Renault is preparing to replace its jailed chairman and CEO, Carlos Ghosn. Bloomberg News has learned some board members of the French auto company believe a decision is needed fast. A Japanese court rejected Ghosn's request for bail, meaning that he may remain behind bars for months. Taking a look at the markets in the early morning, futures pointed to a slightly higher open on Wall Street, with S&P futures up 3.5 points or a 10th percent. Dow futures also about a 10th percent higher at 38 points. NASDAQ futures up nearly 2 points. That's little changed. Price of the 10-year Treasury down 7/32, bringing the yield to 2.73%. Two-year Treasuries are at 2.54%. Europe Stock 600 is up 0.2%. NYMEX crude down 0.9% or 47 cents at $51.65 a barrel. Brent crude is trading 35 cents lower at $60.29 a barrel. The euro at $1.1388, the British pound at $1.2851. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We have Bank of America earnings crossing the Bloomberg right now. Bank of America reporting investment banking revenue for the fourth quarter that beat the average analyst estimate. Also, BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, reported quarterly assets under management dipped 5% to almost $6 trillion as institutions pulled money from the firm. Now let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the futures right now. Dow futures up 42 points. S&P's gained 4.5 and NASDAQ futures climbed by 2. Oil is trading lower. The U.S. 10-year yield jumps to 2.74%. And Asia markets were mixed overnight. Note the PBOC pumped $83 billion into the financial system. European markets are also trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, the Import Price Index. At 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. And at 2 o'clock, the U.S. Federal Reserve releases its beige book. After the bell last night, United Continental beat estimates. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market. And regarding other earnings this morning, Bank of New York Mellon EPS beat estimates. And look for Goldman Sachs to report around 7:30, Schwab at 8:45. In other news, Activision price target cut to a street low 46 at Bernstein. And wrapping things up, Devon was downgraded to equal weight over at Barclays. Accenture upgraded to buy at Citigroup. And Nordstrom downgraded to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First of Reagan News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And these Bank of America earnings are still crossing the Bloomberg. Fixed income trading was down 15% in the fourth quarter, missing analyst estimates. Still, shares are moving higher this morning. They are up 2.5% right now in early trading, and we'll continue to bring you headlines as they cross the Bloomberg. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It is day 26 of the partial government shutdown with no deal in sight. Yesterday, President Trump invited both Democratic and Republican members of Congress to meet with him at the White House to talk about the shutdown. However, Democrats turned the offer down. Two Republican U.S. lawmakers are hoping to break the impasse over President Trump's demand for money to build a wall along the Mexican border. Representative Steve Palazzo of Mississippi and Andy Harris of Maryland introduced the Border Bonds for America Act of 2019, a law that would allow Americans to buy such securities from the U.S. The money would be put into a trust fund and used just to build the wall. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime. The Rangers won. The Devils lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Finally, from Daybreak, it's like a giant frisbee about the width of a football field made of ice. That's what's floating around in Maine's Penobscot River. The formation is a spinning ice disk, and it's been getting lots of attention on social media. Yesterday, the ice formation drew a crowd that stood around transfixed as the disk rotated slowly on the river. A city official says the disk is believed to have formed naturally in a part of the river where there's a circular current that creates a whirlpool effect.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of this on social media right now, Michael, and it does not look natural. It looks like the moon.
The moon, Uncle Buzz?
Yeah, it looks quite, except there's no man on the moon. It's like if there were, ice on the river, it's definitely not the kind of ice you would want to skate on. It's very thin ice, but it's a perfect circle, and it's incredible.
And the
it's
ducks
a sight
are
to
on
behold.
It is. The ducks are on it. They're saying this is as close as we're going to get to a rotating bar. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Skate to the moon. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. As Michael mentioned, it is day 26 of the partial government shutdown. Today is also day two of confirmation hearings for Attorney General nominee William Barr and day one of confirmation hearings for Environmental Protection Agency nominee Andrew Wheeler. Also today, House Financial Services Chair Maxine Waters lays out her agenda in a speech at the Center for American Progress. Also making news this morning, the ever-widening field of presidential candidates in 2020 is leaving Democrats in early voting states in suspense. Let's bring in Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. We heard another announcement from one of those Democrats last night on Late Night Comedy TV, Kate, with New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand announcing she's going to form an exploratory committee. But I guess Democratic operatives are waiting for the top tier to make their intentions known.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be potentially the most crowded Democratic field in a generation this year for 2020. And so folks in Iowa, which, of course, is the first in the nation caucus state, are sort of eyeing that curiously. Of course, they're anticipating millions of dollars being spent, but I think they're waiting to hear from three folks who are considered to be potentially among the top tier candidates: Joe Biden, the former vice president, Bernie Sanders, who obviously ran in 2016, and then also Beto O'Rourke, who, as we know, ran unsuccessfully against Ted Cruz for the Senate. So I think that people are keeping their powder dry a bit in terms of figuring out, who they're going to endorse until those three at least make a decision.
Yeah, I would imagine it makes it tougher for operatives not just to organize, but to figure out how they're going to staff in the early going.
Exactly, how they're going to staff. And also, what the Democratic Party platform is going to be, is going to look like, is going to be quite different, if the party starts coalescing behind someone like Joe Biden versus someone like, Bernie Sanders. So I think there's a bit of a schism right now within the Democratic Party that's complicating these things. Of course, Iowa won't be the end-all be-all. It's just an initial test. But I think that, that schism that's present now in terms of the more moderate wing of the party and then the more liberal progressive wing, which has a lot of energy behind it at the moment, I think that's also, causing some difficulties in terms of figuring out which direction the party's going to go in.
At the same time, isn't it kind of remarkable that we're talking about this now when these first in the nation caucuses don't even happen for more than a year from now?
Exactly. It's February 3rd, not February 3rd as in a couple weeks, February 3rd, 2020. So, and that's the first of the presidential voting. However, I think that usually around this time is when these things do start kind of getting off the ground. Thinking back to 2008, I think it was around this time when Barack Obama in 2007, prior to the 2008 election, announced his candidacy, particularly for folks that don't have as high name ID or might not be considered front runners. it makes sense for them to start, you know, testing the waters now and figuring out if they want to launch a campaign, because it's going to take some time to get everything together and be prepared to actually do that effectively.
Speaking of Waters, let's move on to Maxine Waters, new chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. As I mentioned, she's going to be laying out her agenda in a speech today. We're also getting a pretty good idea of who is going to be joining her on financial services under this new Congress. Some pretty remarkable names here.
Yeah, we have a bunch of freshmen, progressive Democrats, a number of women, chief among them, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, you know, is the freshman representative from New York, who is in a lot of ways, you know, quite similar in her views and her platform to someone like Bernie Sanders or specifically Elizabeth Warren. She's called very strongly for additional scrutiny of big banks. And I think that she's someone that, because of her, you know, massive, almost celebrity status on social media, I think, you know, will be able to influence the panel, even though she's just going to be a freshman, in terms of pushing the panel even further to the left in terms of wanting to make, you know, hold Wall Street accountable a bit more than what's currently going on.
Yeah, so Ocasio-Cortez obviously gets a lot of attention on social media. I expect she'll be getting quite a bit more attention from Wall Street as well now.
I would think so. I mean, you know, Wall Street, I remember when Elizabeth Warren came into the Senate a few years back, you know, all the banks and Wall Street paid a lot of really close attention to sort of every move that she made. And because, you know, she came in kind of gunning for the banks and gunning for Wall Street. And I think that it's similar with Ocasio-Cortez. There's going to be a lot of attention given to her. And, you know, for Democrats, that makes her an effective tool that they can deploy, you know, to try to you know, hammer home their message and, frankly, you know, energize their base ahead of 2020 as well.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Good morning, Karen. Small businesses are contending with a shrinking pool of available people, the result of an unemployment rate that's down to 3.7%. They're up against the ability of larger companies to offer bigger salaries and benefits. Well, fostering a worker-friendly corporate culture can make a difference in the battle for talented staffers at his Mr. Reuter plumbing franchise in Seattle. Vinny Spersari allows technicians to take company vehicles home and use them for personal errands and trips. In a survey of over 1,000 small business owners from Bank of America, a quarter of the participants say they have shifted to more flexible company cultures, recognizing that quality of life is as important, if not more important, than money to a lot of younger workers. More than 80% of the survey's participants say they offer job candidates perks or benefits, including flexible hours, training and professional development, bonuses, and the chance to work at the location they choose. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch Bank of America reporting earnings this morning. It said fixed income trading was down 15% in the fourth quarter. That missed analyst estimates. Equities trading climbed 11%, and its shares are up 3.7% right now in early trading. Overall trading results were in line with what analysts were looking for, and we will continue to watch Bank of America shares throughout the morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.